Mark 14, let's read verses 3 through 6. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box, poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." Let's pray. Father, this evening, how thankful we are for what you've already done in our service tonight. And Lord, we ask that now you'd bless the preaching of the word. Open our hearts to the truth that we'll see here tonight, and help us, Lord, to be honest with you and respond according to the leading of the Spirit, that we might be lives, our lives might be used of you for the cause of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to speak this evening. The title of the message is A Heart for the Savior. A Heart for the Savior. And the topic is devotion. Devotion. Defined as serving God without reservation. Serving God without reservation. And devotion is not something that we do. Rather, it's an attitude of the heart. And here in this passage, I want us to notice, I believe, three truths that are involved in devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of this woman, Mary. Now, her name is not mentioned here, but in John, we find that her name, this is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. It says here in verse 3 that Jesus being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now, he had visited Bethany on many occasions. We keep in mind, this is Mark 14. In just a few days, Jesus will be dying up on the cross of Calvary. He had already been here once. We read about where Mary and Martha were preparing a meal, but when he arrived, Mary left and sat at his feet. You're familiar with that story. And then also when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Here he's back again at Bethany, and this time it says he's in the house of Simon the leper. No doubt because he's at home, Simon is no longer a leper, but rather a man that Jesus had healed of his leprosy, but still identified this way. And word spread there that Jesus had come to Bethany, and there he was in the house of Simon. And as word spread through town, without hesitation, people just came to be where Jesus was. Word came to the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and again, immediately hearing that Jesus was there, they left whatever they were doing and headed to the home of Simon. Lazarus and Martha out the door, and Mary right behind them, but then she stopped for a moment. Because she was going to see Jesus, this one who meant so much to her, and she didn't want to go empty-handed. Well, the flowers in the vase on the table were already starting to wilt. She didn't want to take them. And the cookies in the cookie jar were a couple of days old. Those wouldn't do. And then she saw it. That little box of ointment, the most precious thing that they had in the home. Without hesitation, she took it down, and she knew exactly what she was going to do. She got there to the home, and it says that she poured the alabaster box of ointment, very precious, on Jesus' head. Very fragrant, filled the room. Very pleasing to smell. The first thing we see in devotion is the cost of devotion. It costs. Now, salvation is free. It's a gift. Now, religion will tell you otherwise. Religion will tell you, do this, do that. But God says salvation is a gift. It's already done. You just receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. But to follow Jesus, it cost. We see here Mary, we find later on this ointment was sold, could have been sold for more than 300 pence. In that day, a pence was a day's wages. So we're talking about a year's wages here. In one moment of time is poured out upon Jesus. How do we compare that today? Just what did you make last year? Whatever that was. That's what Mary poured out on Jesus in that moment of time. The cost of devotion, her most precious possession. In order to show her deep appreciation for the Savior. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you'll follow me, you have to deny self. Deny. Now that's not what the world tells us to do. The world says whatever self wants, just do it. If it feels good, if you want it, it's all right. Have it your way. Pamper self. Jesus says, deny self. Deny self. Take up your cross daily. I've often heard people talk about someone in their life or a situation in their life being their cross to bear. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. You see, the cross, though today we have made it beautiful and we've put it on jewelry and we put it on our church steeples, and that's fine and that's all right, but yet remember that in Jesus' day, the cross was the instrument of death. When Jesus is saying here to take up your cross, he's talking about dying to self. What does that mean to deny self? And this may have go along with what these young people were talking about here this evening in their testimonies. Take two pieces of paper. On one of them, write everything that you want your life to be. Your ambitions, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations. Who you want to marry. How much money you want to make a year. What kind of car you want to drive. What kind of house you want to live in. Write it all down on a piece of paper. And then, if you determine that you want to deny self, take that piece of paper and rip it up. Throw it in the trash. And get another piece of paper. On the top of that paper, write my life. And then on the bottom of that paper, sign your name. And say, Lord, here, you fill it in. You fill it in. That's what it means to deny self. And that's what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The cost of devotion. But then we see in verse 4, it says there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Notice those words. Indignation. Waste. Murmured. The criticism of devotion. The criticism of devotion. You determine to deny self. You determine to have a heart for the Savior. There will be criticism. There will be. Devotion to Christ will not make you popular. It will not. Moses, the Bible says, he chose to suffer affliction. I mean, who chooses to suffer? No, we do all we can to avoid it. But Moses chose to suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
And if you choose to be devoted, to be devoted to Jesus Christ, you've chosen to suffer affliction. You will be criticized. It's a narrow way, the Bible says. It's a narrow way. Don't be surprised at where that criticism may come from. The other Gospels tell us that those who criticized Mary included the disciples. Judas was the spokesperson. That shouldn't surprise us. But the other disciples who had been with Jesus for 3 years were involved in this criticism of Mary's devotion to the Savior. Don't be surprised. Calling it a waste. A waste. You know, in just a few days, Judas will be dead. Now you tell me, where was the waste? Where was the waste? You never waste what you give to Jesus. You only waste what you keep for yourself. The criticism. And then notice in verse 6, Jesus said. Now before we notice what Jesus said, kind of picture Mary there. The crowd has criticized her, spoken against her. And she thought, now, this is a good thing. But after everyone begins to criticize her and talk against her, maybe she's beginning to wonder, hey, did I make a mistake? Did I do the wrong thing? I thought I was doing something that was good, but even Jesus' disciples are criticizing me. And maybe she began to kind of back away, thinking maybe she had made a mistake. But then Jesus spoke up. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Just one person approved of what Mary had done. But you know, he was the only one that counted anyway. He's the only one that mattered anyway. Didn't matter if everyone else criticized her. Jesus commended her for what she had done. Let others say what they may. If Jesus smiles on me, I need nothing more. I need nothing more. Now, I've read this passage down through the years as I read through the Bible every year in the different Gospels, 3 times every year. And every time I would read this passage, the verse there where it says, verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Every time I read that, I thought, why such a big deal? Why did Jesus make such a big deal? I mean, think about when Peter declared to Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus commended him for that, but he didn't say anything like this. And there were individuals who showed great faith in Jesus, and he commended them for their faith, but he never said anything like this. And every time I'd read it, I'd say, why did Jesus make such a big deal about what Mary did here. And I've found that in Bible study, most of the time you have a question, if you just look at the context, you'll find the answer. Let's do that. Let's look at verse 1. 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes. Now, these are the individuals who knew the Word of God. The chief priest. Those in Aaron's line, ordained and set apart by God to be the representatives of the people of Israel before God. Those who served in the temple there in that day. The scribes, those who wrote the Word of God, who knew the Word of God. These are those who should have been first in line to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. What are they doing? They sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. Then notice verses 10 and 11. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. One of the 12 men that were with Jesus day and night for 3 years. One of the men that saw with his own eyes the miracles that Jesus performed. One of the men that heard Him teach the words of grace, the goodness, the truth of God. What is this man doing? He went unto the chief priest to betray Him unto them. And not just Judas, but even Jesus said to His disciples, "The time has come when you will all depart and leave me alone, forsake me." The weight of Calvary was on Jesus' shoulders as in just a couple of days. He who knew no sin would become sin. Think about something that you detest more than anything. And then you becoming that thing. That can't even begin to compare to the way that God detests sin, and yet God, Jesus Christ, became sin. And in so doing, the wrath of God, our eternal damnation, was poured out upon Jesus Christ. And his Father turned his back on him. And Jesus knew what was coming. He hadn't experienced it, but he knew what was coming. And that was weighing on him immensely. And here we find the chief priest, the scribes plotting his death, Judas going to betray him, the other disciples leaving him, forsaking him. Jesus here was being suffocated by those, almost everyone there, who was only seeking their own self-interest. Some of them believers, yet seeking their own self-interest. Even his disciples had just been debating about which of them would be the greatest. Trying to see what they could get out of Jesus. But then there was Mary, an exception to the rule. The one who was concerned not about what mattered to her, but what mattered to Jesus. And I believe that's why Jesus wrote that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Because in the darkest moment of his life, there was but one that was consumed with what mattered to him. Are we living in the days of apostasy? No doubt. No doubt. As we see what is done today in the name of religion. What about lukewarmness? It's destroying our churches. But I believe, like Mary, an individual can determine, I am going to be an exception to the rule. I'm going to make my life matter for what matters to my Savior. Amen. Amen. And I believe a church can be an exception to the rule. Devotion, a heart for the Savior. And you know, in light of Calvary, in light of what Jesus suffered for us, the devotion we see in the life of Mary ought to be the norm in the life of every child of God. Now, everyone else thought that Mary had given too much. But deep down inside, Mary knew she had given too little. There might be a young person here tonight that God would call to live their life on a foreign mission field. You go. You live 30, 40 years serving Christ. And the world certainly, and even many believers would say, oh, what price you have paid. You've given so much. But deep down in your heart, you know that you've given too little. There may be, and no doubt are, individuals in this church who sacrifice and give to this ministry, that souls here in this area might hear the gospel, that give to missions, that missionaries might go forth to other countries and preach the gospel of Christ. You know, you could drive a nicer car, and you could take longer vacations, and you could eat steak more often. But you sacrifice and give for the cause of Christ. And if people knew how much you gave, many, certainly the world and even many believers might say, oh, you're giving too much. Yet deep down in your heart, you know that you're giving too little. What was the difference between Mary and the disciples, all believers? What was the difference? What is the difference today between the spiritual believer and the carnal? The difference today between the child of God that's sold out to the will of God and those who are one foot in the world and one foot in the church? What's the difference? Hasn't changed. Mary and the disciples. What was the difference? We see, the disciples were focused on the worth of the ointment. Mary was focused on the worth of the Savior. What is your life focused on tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Worthy, thou art worthy of all we are and of all we possess. Lord, help us to give you that which rightly belongs to you. And then, as we live our lives, always knowing that, oh, it's so too little, because you're worth so much more. Christ's name we pray.